Take your Bibles with me tonight. Open up to John's Gospel, chapter number 17. John, chapter number 17. John, chapter 17. We're going to start in verse number 1. And we're going to read all 26 verses of it. Don't get nervous. We're not going to preach all 26 verses of it tonight, but we are going to read them. And then we're going to say some things about the prelude to John chapter 17 and then give a brief little introduction to chapter 17. Verse number 1, John chapter 17, the Word of God says these words, spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee. And they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee. And these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou givest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me, and I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. That's John chapter 17. Read all 26 verses of the chapter. I mentioned to you several weeks ago that I had it in my heart to try to preach through the 17th chapter of the book of John, and that's what we'll start doing tonight. We'll have tonight's message and one more message before we really start getting into the meat of the chapter. Tonight, we're looking at what I call the prelude and introduction to John chapter 17. The prelude and the introduction to John 17. Next week, we'll do an overview of the entire chapter, and then the week after that, we'll start taking it verse by verse. At this point, I think it'll take us roughly 13 weeks to make it through John chapter 17. That's if you listen well. If you don't listen well, it could take much, much longer. If you're going to look at tonight as a prelude and introduction, you'd need to know what a prelude is, and you probably do, but it is an event or events that precedes and sets the stage for an important event. That's what a prelude is. And so to really get a good view of John chapter 17, to get a telescopic view, and that's what we want to do initially. We want to get a telescopic view of it, and then by week after next, we'll start getting into a microscopic view of it. That's how you're to approach Scripture. Always take a text and first look at it from a telescopic view, which means to back far away and try to view the whole. And in order to view the whole, to step back and view the whole, oftentimes you have to look not just at the entire text, but what preceded it. To understand what set the stage, what is the prelude for what you're looking at. And then after you have a good understanding of the telescopic perspective, then you begin to dissect it and look at it verse by verse and word by word in more of a microscopic approach. And so that's what we'll do tonight, is look at it from a telescopic view by way of the prelude and then just a brief introduction to it. The prelude, that event or events that leads up to or sets the stage for another event, would be the four chapters previous. That'd be chapter 13, 14, 15, and 16. All four of those chapters are the prelude for chapter 17. They're what sets the stage for the event, Christ's high priestly prayer that takes place in chapter number 17. Chapter 13, 14, 15, and 16, all four of those chapters take place in the span of less than 24 hours. It's come Passover, and this is the Passover where Christ will give his life. And so that's what sets the stage there. In chapter number 13, again, the Passover's come. Verse number 1 tells us that in chapter 13. Verse number 2 tells us that Judas, that Satan has put it in Judas's heart to betray Christ. That's told to us in verse number 2 of chapter number 13. Then you find where Christ washes the disciples' feet. They have the Lord's Supper, and Christ washes the disciples' feet. You remember all that took place there. Peter initially refused to be washed. Christ told him, "If I don't wash your feet, you have no part with me." And you remember all the details surrounding that. Then chapter 13, beginning there about verse number 18 through verse 30, Christ begins to tell of his betrayal. And that's unique and interesting, because we always think of Judas as one who would have been obvious. We think we would have pinpointed Judas, but actually Peter and John looked and said, who could it be? Some of the 11 even said, "Is it I? Could it be me?" They questioned themselves before they questioned Judas. The lesson learned from that is you can't always judge. Only God knows what's going on in the heart of a man. And sometimes we have to understand it'll take the great day of God to separate the wheat from the tares. Christ, after that, telling of his betrayal, he tells of his departure, how that he'll go away, and he commands them to love one another. Then that's in verse 31 to 35, and then he foretells of Peter's denial in the conclusion of chapter number 13. That's where he tells Peter that he will deny him. Then when you come to chapter number 14, That's one of the most well-noted texts of Scripture. It's where Jesus says in verse 1, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God? You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Yeah, that's a text of Scripture that we all are familiar with. It's often quoted at graveside services and so forth. But all of this, remember, is happening in a brief 24-hour period. Everything that I've said to this point and the things that I'm yet to say, in a 24-hour period, there's a lot going on. They're gathered in the upper room. They have the Lord's Supper. He washes their feet. He tells of his departure. He tells of Judas's betrayal. He tells of Peter's denial. He tells them of the Comforter's coming. They leave from the upper room and they walk around the city of Jerusalem in the dark, and he continues to talk through chapter 13, 14, 15, and 16, and he's trying to prepare them. He spends four chapters talking to his disciples about God, if you will. And that's the prelude. That's what's going to lead us up to chapter number 17. And he'll spend that chapter talking to God about his disciples. Chapter number 15 is where Christ teaches them about the vine. "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, and that it may bring forth more fruit." He tells them that without him, they can do nothing. He teaches them all of these things as they're walking about the streets of Jerusalem there on that Passover night. Then when you get to chapter number 16, it becomes more bleak and dark, and he tells of impending persecution. He says in verse 1, "These things have I spoken unto you, that you should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will thinketh that he doeth God service. And these things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, you may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. But now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment." And he continues on through this text, explaining to them of the impending persecution after his departure, that the world would hate them because it has hated him. But he encourages them and tells them that he will send them the Comforter, and he'll guide them in all truth. So chapter 16 is dark and bleak because it tells of impending persecution. But it also tells of an imminent overcoming by Christ and his disciples. Verse 33 of chapter 16 says, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace." Peace seems like a rare commodity in the midst of everything he's spoken of. But through the Holy Ghost, through the truth of the Word of God, through sanctification, it can be had. "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." That's his parting words in chapter number 16. That's the conclusion to the prelude of chapter number 17. He tells them, "Be of good cheer, I have," past tense, "overcome the world." And that's the prelude to chapter number 17, where Christ begins his great intercessory prayer, where we see him as our mediator. And so there we begin to look at it by way of introduction. John chapter 17 is a text that some Bible scholars have called the Holy of holy text. And I don't disagree with that. Not to necessarily place one scripture above or beneath another. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. We understand that. It's God-breathed as much as any other passage of scripture, no less nor more than any other passage of scripture. But it's because of the event that's recorded and the uniqueness of the event that's recorded that makes this passage, this chapter, worthy to be called the holy of holy text. It gives you a view of some things that you have never seen nor will see anywhere else in Scripture. It gives you a view into the sacred communion of the members of the Trinity, at least the first two, the God the Father and God the Son. It shows you something of their communion and something of their oneness that you don't see anywhere else in Scripture. It's one of 21 recorded prayers of Christ in the New Testament. That's not to say that Christ only prayed 21 times. Evidence is clear. He prayed multiple times daily. Most of the prayers that are recorded of Christ are very short prayers. But we know that he prayed long. We have record of on occasions where he preached, or rather prayed, all night long. But this is the longest recorded prayer out of the 21 recorded prayers. Out of the 21 recorded prayers, 20 of them, he begins with the word Father, or My Father, or Holy Father. He addresses God as Father, and that's not to be overlooked. Firstly, because it designates him as the only begotten Son of God. But it also helps us to see God as a Father. But there's one of the 21 where he did not address God as Father in any way. Can you think of where that one is? It would be on the cross as he hanged there and he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? It's the only time he didn't address him as Father. He was still his Father. But at that point, Christ had become sin for us, and he addressed him as my God. A unique thing about John chapter 17, by way of introduction, is it gives you not only a glimpse into the communication and the oneness between God the Father and God the Son, and by the way, that is one of the things that makes it such a holy text. I wonder if you've ever been privileged to be in a position to where you recognize that you are in a holy place, and it might not be geographically holy, it might not be a holy building, but the place that you are in time, the situation that you're in, that God makes it abundantly clear to you that you are in a holy place and you need to be very reverential. Moses had an experience like that before a burning bush, and God told him to take off his shoes, for the ground that you stand on is holy ground. I remember Brother John Dorsey telling me about when Miss Barbara Ware was dying. He happened to be there visiting the home, and she was literally drawing last breaths. And he said that Brother Harvey Ware stretched across the bed and took her hand. And he began to tell me some of the things that Brother Ware said to his wife there, knowing that she was dying. And Brother Dorsey, their pastor, said to me, he said, "Preacher, there was an overwhelming presence of the Holy Ghost of God, and it was as if God told me, you back away in the corner and you be really quiet. You're on holy ground and you just need to be seen and not heard right now." I can think of one experience very akin to that in my life where God made it abundantly clear to me, this is a holy and sacred situation that's going on here, and you don't need to put your fingerprint on it. You need to observe and reverence. You need to be stricken with awe is what you need to be at this time. When you approach John chapter 17, that's how it should be, because of that sweet communion you see between the Father and the Son, that oneness that you see between those two members of the triune Godhead. Not only that, because of the content of the prayer, and I don't want to get too far ahead of myself and get into next week's overview, but the chapter divides into three parts. The first part being the first five verses, that's where Christ prays for himself. But then in verse number 6, you have your first transition of the chapter, and that'll last through verse 19. Verses 6 through 19, Christ prays for his disciples then and there. And then come verse 20, there's another transition. He includes another group of people, those who do not yet believe, many of whom were not born. As a matter of fact, he included you in verse number 20 when he said, I pray not for these only, but for those that will believe through their word. He prayed for you there. It's a holy and sacred text, and we ought to approach it as such. Another thing that makes it unique, and by the way, it's only recorded here. There's a lot of things in John's gospel that we'd never know even happened if we didn't have John's gospel. Matthew, Mark, and Luke are synoptic gospels, but John stands apart and stands alone. There's many things in John's gospel that's not contained in the others. It's unique in that way. John chapter 17 is one of those texts. But what you see in John chapter 17 is this. You look at it, and at face value, you say, I'm reading something sacred. I'm reading communion between God the Father and God the Son. I'm reading Christ praying over his disciples, the ones that were present, the ones that were yet to come. But here's what's very sacred and special about it, in addition to the other things. You're given a peek into Christ's mediatory ministry. He is our mediator. When Christ ascended to heaven, he ascended where? To the right hand of the Father. He took the blood of Calvary to the mercy seat with him. And there he mediates for us. The Bible says he is S-E-T, set down at the right hand of God. The Bible says that he ever maketh intercession for us. In other words, what Christ began doing in John chapter number 17 is still what he's doing tonight. That's what he's doing right now on your behalf. So when you read John chapter 17 and you make your way beyond the fifth verse and make that initial transition into chapter 6 and on throughout verse 26, and you read Christ interceding to God the Father. Remember chapters 13, 14, 15, and 16, he spoke to his disciples about God. But when you get to chapter 17, he's speaking to God on behalf of his disciples. He started that. Now, it had happened previous, but I'm talking about in our text that began in chapter 17. Calvary is still to come. The resurrection is still to come. The ascension is still to come. But that began in this text, his mediation for us. And when you read John chapter number 17, it literally gives you a peek into heaven tonight and shows you what Christ is doing on your behalf right now. Do you understand that? That Christ prays for you continually? We consider it a privilege when our fellow man prays for us, and it is a privilege, it's an honor, that anybody would utter my name in prayer and lift my name up to God and pray on my behalf. Brother Matt, before the service tonight, led us in prayer, and he prayed and asked God to help me tonight. I don't take that lightly. I appreciate that very much. I trust that you pray for me. But to know that Jesus Christ, the second member of the Godhead, that this very day, he's called your name out to God. He's mentioned your name as he sits at the right hand of the Father, as his blood rest upon the mercy seat. He calls your name out to God. He speaks to God on your behalf. He mediates for you. And that's what you see in John chapter 17. It's not a wonder to me that they call it the holy of holy text, because it is just that. The only problem I have with John chapter 17 is this. And people say you shouldn't say things like this to your congregation that you pastor, but I'm completely intimidated by trying to preach through John chapter 17, because I think the most learned preacher with the most gifted vocabulary could preach the rest of his life on John chapter 17 and never finish it. He would never do it complete justice. And I recognize that over the 13 give or take weeks that we'll approach the text, that we probably won't touch the hem of the garment, but we want to give it our very best. We want to do our very best for the glory of God. And by the way, that's what the whole chapter ultimately is about. That's what Christ's entire ministry was about. That's what the entire Bible is about. That's what this world was formed for, was the glory of God. And that's what we want to do in our approach to this text, is to get glory to God. That is what Christ says his goal was in this text. I'm thankful that the Lord's letting us look at it. And what I want you to do, what I'd ask you to do over the course of the next week, would be on a few occasions. It wouldn't hurt daily, if possible, and it is possible. But at least a handful of times, and preferably daily, take John chapter 17 and read through it. Not speed reading, but slowly and deliberately. And think about what's being said. Think about those three divisions. Verse number 1 through 5, Christ praying for himself. Verse 6 through 19, Christ transitioning to pray for his people. Verse 20, I wish you'd pay particular attention to it. That's where you enter into the picture in verse number 20. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. That's you. You can write your name. You can write your social security number if you want to. Right beside that verse. That's you. And read on through verse number 26 and just contemplate this chapter. I'll tell you what else I wish you'd do. Do you understand? And you don't have the most learned preacher or gifted orator. But if you did have the most gifted preacher, learned preacher, gifted orator, did you know that if God doesn't illuminate your heart and mind to receive it, that it still won't be of a great benefit to you? Someone asked you to read through this text several times, preferably daily, and slowly, and meditate upon it. But pray, God, help me to see things in John chapter number 17 that'll be a help to me in my walk with you. Help me see things in John chapter 17 that strengthen my Christian life and that would ultimately get glory to you. God, help us as we handle John chapter 17, that when all is said and done, that we'd be better Christians for it, that we'd love Jesus more, and we ought to. This chapter ought to cause us to love him deeper. It ought to cause us to love him with more fervent love than we ever have, and by that get glory to him and glory to the Father. All right, let's close tonight in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for allowing us to be here. Thank you for the word of God. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to go through the great chapter of John chapter 17. Lord, we pray for your help as we handle it. We pray that you would, Lord, give us illumination of mind and heart, and that you'd speak to our hearts as to what to say. And I pray for your people, God, that they would glean the absolute most profit that's possible from going through this study of John chapter 17. That through it said and done, that we would love Christ in a deeper, truer, more profound, more sincere way than we ever have before. That we'd live a more loyal and dedicated life to him and his name and his cause, and thereby get glory and honor to the name of God. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.